Okay, I am excited about sharing with you today. Thank you, Katie and Jim and Becky and musicians, everyone who has led us so far, and really the congregation and children for participating as well. Well, what we are focusing on today, and actually I want to back up and give a special welcome to all the visitors here. You are always welcome in this place. We're glad you're here. Well, what we're focusing on today is getting intentional about our intentions. Or another way of saying it would be, we're seeking to have what's on the outside match what's on the inside, and vice versa. So, for example, the potato chip bag is a clue to what might be inside here. If you can picture this with a Subway wrapper around it, you'd have a pretty good guess that unless somebody tampered with this, that inside here is a sub sandwich. You can't see it, but that would be your guess, and you'd be right. And similarly, with this bag of wonderful Lay's barbecue chips, it's not been opened, you've got a pretty good guess that what's on the inside matches what's on the outside, except for a little story that I want to tell you about from about, 10 or so years ago. Now, our family, we did not go out to eat very often, and when we did, our restaurant of choice was usually Subway. Mike and I enjoyed not having to cook, and the kids liked having a picnic. We'd usually pick it up and go to a park, and sometimes bring it home. Well, this particular day, we picked up some Subway, we brought it home, and we were having a great time around the table, just laughing and talking together. And I had eaten at least 5 chips from my potato chip bag and poured them out onto my white plate. I remember looking at it. And then I noticed something a little strange about the potato chips, and I looked down my white plate, and my chips are there that I had poured out, and there were more spices on the chips than there usually were. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. And I look over at Jonathan's plate, and his chips look normal. And I look at the bag, because you know how sometimes when they change what's inside, they'll tell you on the outside on the packaging that something's different. And I look, and the bag looked exactly the same. And I thought, well, what's going on here? And so I pick up a chip, and I look at it more closely, and the things that I thought were spices had legs. Yeah. Yes. They had little tiny legs. I thought, okay. That's not what I intended. Well, Jesus, when he fed the 5,000, they didn't have Lay's barbecue chips then. He didn't feed those to the 5,000. But Jesus knew fully about people who had one thing on the outside and something else on the inside. Things that look just fine on the outside, but were actually bad on the inside. If the Pharisees are coming to mind here, you're in a good track here. So here at the core of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us, get intentional. Get your heart, line up your heart on the inside with your behavior on the outside. Because as Katie pointed out so well, the things we're doing are good. But if our heart isn't matching that, if our intentions aren't matching that, we're going to be off track. And some of us may be saying, why does it really matter? Like, are we just heaping burdens on people? Can I just do my good things of giving and fasting and prayer? Why does it really matter? Isn't that enough? Well, let's think about it. Every now and then in the news, we hear about pastors who preached good sermons, and they did so for the wrong reasons. And when they did that, people suffered. Maybe they did something for money or for status, which seems kind of ironic about being a pastor. You don't usually associate that, but pastors do have a certain level of authority and power. And so doing the right thing for the wrong reason causes suffering for others. And I believe that Jesus is giving a wake-up call to the church that what happens on the outside needs to match our intentions on the inside. When our intentions for ourselves and the people that we love, when those intentions are for the rewards of other people, for other people to see the coins that we're putting in the offering basket, we lose. We lose. One translation says it's the moths and the rust and the thieves. Rust instead of vermin. And so moth is, you know, all the things of nature that destroy. And rust is all the things of time that destroy. And thieves are all the things of humanity that destroy. This passage says, if our reward is to be seen or for status or for recognition, we're going to have that reward in full and it will be meaningless. We will lose it. When our intentions, however, are for God's rewards, we gain. And this is a little weird to me, and maybe for some of you as well. As a Mennonite, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon that was focused on the rewards we get from God. I don't think I've ever heard that. And there's something kind of uncomfortable for us as Mennonites about that. We don't necessarily want to think about God giving us rewards. We sort of push that down and we say, oh no, I'm fine. I don't need any reward from God. I can be a martyr. I can just suffer. I can twist my face so that people know that I'm suffering, but I'm really just going to push that down. Blow my own horn so people know how miserable it's been, but no, I'm fine. I don't need anything. It's uncomfortable for some of us that God rewards those who come to God. That's how the book of Hebrews puts it. So many of us, like Mennonites, as best as I understand it, we're kind of acting like Buddhists in this. Buddhists say to push down that desire that we have for approval and for reward, they say squelch that, squash that down. It leads to evil. And Jesus, as you can guess, had a different approach. Jesus doesn't say to reject that part of ourselves. Jesus transforms it. Jesus was there at creation. He knew how we were wired for approval and for a reward. And he said, turn that focus. Don't repress it. Turn that focus up to God and get that approval from God. Each of these practices, giving, fasting, praying, notice that every single one of them has to do with a relationship with God and a relationship with people. That's what righteousness is, right? Relatedness with God and with people. Both are needed. So God sees what is done in secret. And when our intentions are focused on God, then what happens when we're focused on pleasing God? Then that money that we gave, that no one else saw, no one else knew the sacrifice that we made by putting that money in. No one else knew how hard it was to pray for that person who really frustrates us. God sees that. And God rewards that. So we've thought about intentions, about how Jesus is saying, be intentional about your intentions. And Jesus is saying, because I want to give you something better and lasting. And not only the rewards that Emma is experiencing now or other loved ones who have passed away. There are also rewards for us now. Now, for some of us here, I know your fathers. For some of you, I don't know your fathers. And I want you to think about how your image of your father impacts our relationship with God, our Father. Okay? So whether your father was wise and wonderful, or whether your father wasn't around very often or was hurtful to you. Whatever that image is, that impacts. And the reason I bring this up is because 6 times in 11 verses, Jesus says the word father, your father. Well, we better pay attention to that. That's important for how we understand our intentions. We wrap together who God is as Father with our intentions of how we seek to live. I want to switch to something that I learned this week. It was painful. And that is that I was trying to serve two masters. This is the verses following our passage today. I learned that I was not trying to serve one master, but maybe 3 or 4. I was trying to get God's approval and my family's approval and this church's approval and my own approval. One of the commentaries put it this way, that we cannot work primarily for God and then moonlight for gain. It is one or the other. For me, I want everything I do to be for the approval of my Heavenly Father. And as I practice this, I am learning again how staggering God is, how gracious and good God is. I'll close with one last story and then an activity that I will seek help from children if you are available to do so. The story is about the rewards we receive from our Father now. Last week, you may remember, we hosted the Ash Wednesday service here at Zion, and all of the pastors and leaders who were leading in the service gathered together in our library to pray together for the service and the people that were coming. And right before we started to pray, I felt the Spirit nudging me to invite Michael Shank, he's one of our district ministers, to invite him to close the prayer. And part of me was a little reluctant to do this because I was thinking, I'm the lead pastor, we're the hosting congregation, I want to close this prayer. Yeah, exactly. So I learned from that, and of course, let Mike close the prayer. So all the pastors had prayed together except for Mike Shank. And he begins his prayer with words that the day before had spoken so powerfully to me from Psalm 103. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, rewards, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Excuse me, steadfast love and compassion, who satisfies your desires as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Those are some of the incredible rewards we have available to us from God our Father now. Which looks better? Okay, so now I need some help from children. I need somebody who's really good at stirring. Who can stir? Okay, I saw your hand first. Go ahead, River, come on up. Yes, and Ari, if you want to help, you're welcome to help. Actually, any kid who wants to come up and help. Let's come down here. And Mike, if you will move that over for me, that would be great. If you'll move it to the children's area. And River, you said you wanted to stir. I'm going to give you this. And this, we're going to be making some hot tea. So I'm going to pour the water in case it's hot. I don't want you all to get burned. And this tea is going to represent the warmth of our hearts. We'll just put a little bit in because we don't want to spill and hurt anybody or get it on the carpet. And Luke, do you know how to squeeze pretty well? Okay. I want you to squeeze a big dollop of honey right, ooh, there you go, right in, oh, good. Yep, that's good. Oh, this is good. That's good. Let's save some for others, okay? Yep. Do you want to squirt? Okay, go ahead. You can squeeze some in. Would anybody else like to do a squirt? Yep, okay, take a turn. Let's scoot back so other people can have a turn. Good. So the honey is like our intentions. Ooh, and Mike, I left a little small paper up on the pulpit if you'll hand it to me. Good. Does anybody else, do you want to turn, Malia? Okay, you want to turn too? Okay, you'll get a turn. Maybe bring it closer so we get it in there. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's okay. Life gets messy. It's all right. Okay, good, good. You want to turn, R? Good. Okay. Did you want to turn, Ian? Okay. This is some very, very sweet tea. We have lots of good intentions in here. Do you want to take a turn? Yeah. If anybody's really thirsty for some very yummy tea afterwards, you're welcome to. Okay. Good. Do you want to turn? Yeah. Go ahead. So the tea is about our intentions for God's approval and the sweetness of doing something, well, that's good, for God's reward. Do you want to turn, Leah? Okay. Go ahead and give it a squeeze. And the tea, we're going to... It's not even turning on. Let's help a little bit. Oh, yeah, it's getting a little sticky. Okay, good. You got it. All right, now what we're going to do is we're going to let River give a chance to stir this up. So we're pretending, it's really tea, but we're pretending that this mug is the warmth of our hearts. And when River gives us a stir, look at the tea, what's happening to it? What's happening? It's mixing, it's all becoming the same thing. So that if, that's good, I think you got it. Well done. So that if we were to give everybody a drink from this, everybody would get to taste the sweetness of our intentions, right? They would know it fully. Now, we're going to do one other thing. You all know that the people in the congregation love you so very much, right? They love you because you're brave and you're willing to come out and help out with a sermon. They love you because you're kind, but they love you because you're you. Right? You don't have to do anything to earn their love. They love you for you. So I know that if we were to ask the congregation to stand up and clap their approval and their love for you, I know they'd do it with gusto. Yes, Linda's already starting. But we don't really want people's approval, right? We want the rewards from God. We want God's approval. That's the one that we're seeking. So we're going to have to pretend, and I'm going to invite everybody in the congregation, if you're able and willing, to stand up, and we're going to pretend that they're like God's approval. They're not really God, but we're going to pretend, okay? And with as much gusto as they can, they're just going to clap and show you how much God approves and loves you. I'm like, let's, one, two, three, and then they'll do it, okay? One, two, three. That times infinity is how much God approves of you. You got it?
I know.
No, infinity, infinity.
Infinity, infinity. You got it,
no,
River.
No, infinity, infinities.
Infinity, infinities. I agree. Amen. Thank you. You can go back to your seats.
Me want tea.